And welcome back to the world famous Phil Hendry Show, philhendryshow.com. And we welcome you to become a backstage pass member. That is to join our family of BSPs. Just go to our website and get a subscription. And of course, while you're there with every new subscription, if you're a BSP member, you get a free CD download. New and returning BSP members get a free CD download with a purchase in our store of $75 or more. You also get two free shot glasses. So it's kind of a way of getting loaded up, if you'll pardon the expression, for Christmas time.
And you don't need alcohol.
No, we don't mean alcohol.
Because there's been an awful lot of talk of that.
Well, there has been a lot of talk of the...
Yeah, I know, and because we did Drunk History yesterday. Okay, so Drunk History is done, and we're looking forward to seeing it. And when we do get the time that it is going to be airing, we'll announce it. But we need not talk anymore about how irresponsible I am as a drinker.
No, it's just the fact that you didn't throw up in the town car. Because I can tell you, Phil, I've seen that happen. Now, I've been in enough limousines, and if you're thinking that Frank and I rent limousines from Joe's Limousine Service, no, we don't. For the longest time, we had our own driver in our own car, and occasionally we do use a family friend. So we're not doing what you do. Nonetheless, I have vomited in a limousine. It's easy to do. It has happened. Fortunately, when I vomit in a limousine, what are you looking at, bud?
Why are you talking about, every time you talk about vomit in a limousine, how you want to belch?
You know, you don't make any sense at all.
Well, I think, Bud, are you going to talk more now about belching and...
Am I talking about belching? I'm talking about something that Phil did.
I didn't vomit in a limousine.
Well, I have. So would you listen to the voice of experience?
The voice of experience? I didn't do it, okay?
I know you didn't do it. I'm saying I have. And you need to understand... The good news that I'm trying to say, if you people will shut your mouths long enough...
Yeah, but you're not making any sense to talk about throwing up.
If Margaret, I understand you're trying to get... If you vomited in a limousine, good for you. Congratulations.
I'm not saying it because I'm proud of it. Are you listening?
Well, I don't think anyone really understands. What I'm trying to say is, Phil didn't... And Phil say he didn't vomit in a limousine.
I know that for the 800th time.
All right, just let her say... What she wants to say.
Oh, I see. Let the crazy woman say it.
No, he's not saying that. Just say it.
All right, here's what I'm saying. First of all, Frank and I don't rent limousines or town cars or whatever. Who was this with?
Well, you know, this is, I'm sorry, we do. Music Express. They're one of the best in town, and they're great drivers, and I had a great time driving with these guys. Very responsible, terrific company. I highly recommend them. Ladies and gentlemen.
Okay, so Music Express just got a free promo. That's real great, Phil.
No, it's not free promo. I didn't get paid for that. I'm just saying it's a good company.
All right, well, Frank and I don't go with rental companies. We have our own car and our own driver on call when we need it. However, it's still bad form to vomit up in a limousine, and I've done it many, many times. And what you do... is if there are any cups or glasses, and there generally are in the better limousines, you can throw up into a glass. Well.
Yeah?
I don't, you know, Frank, if your husband's with you, he'll hold the glass under your mouth and...
Oh, God.
Oh, grow up, Phil, will you?
What are you telling us for?
And then what do you do?
Then what do I do what?
What do you do once you've thrown up into the glass? What is Frank, what did he do with it?
He threw it out the window, all right?
Oh, that's great. So the guy behind you, I hope you got windshield wiper fluid, folks.
Will you listen to what a child you are? I hope you got windshield wiper fluid. You know, you're yelling it out there like you're some high schooler with your head stuck up through the roof of a limousine. You know those kids are in high school with limousines, right?
Yeah.
That's you, Phil. And I can only hope that you don't come up on a low-hanging bridge. And yet, in a way, I hope you do. That's the weird dichotomy of it.
Oh, I see, Margaret. So you're saying that you hope, with my head stuck up through the roof of a limousine, you hope I hit a low-hanging bridge.
Figuratively speaking, hello. I don't mean it literally.
Well, you don't mean it literally, but that's what you're saying. You want him to be decapitated.
in a figurative way. I want his smart-ass nature decapitated, not him.
Well,
what does he mean? What does that mean?
It means just what it sounds like, meaning you don't make any sense. I mean, on a good day, you aren't making any sense. Tonight, you're not making any sense at all. You hope my smart-ass nature gets decapitated.
That's great.
Go ahead and laugh it up, Phil. Have you ever seen someone decapitated?
Oh, now we're back to someone actually being decapitated. Is that it?
No, I'm talking about, have you ever seen anyone figuratively decapitated? Not really. In a figurative sense.
What's that mean?
No, Margaret, I've never seen someone's sense of humor get decapitated, no.
What do you... I have, Margaret, I can tell you.
Well, I know you have, General, because you've been to war.
No, I mean, I've seen someone's sense of humor. I've seen an individual's arrogant nature get figuratively decapitated by the low-hanging bridge of another person's wit and sarcasm.
Well, you guys just speak English instead of by the low-hanging bridge and all this stuff. I don't understand a word anybody's talking about now. You can get a little too fancy with the language.
Oh, well, excuse me, Phil, for trying to add some color to the conversation.
Well, Phil, that's all we're talking about, is the low-hanging bridge was this guy's sarcasm, and he cut the head, you know...
Yeah, off of some guy's arrogance. That's great. You know, you could just say this guy was sarcastic with this dude that was arrogant, and...
With a guy that was arrogant?
Arrogant.
Arrogant's a state.
Yeah.
No, that's Oregon.
Wow.
Well, you guys, man, I mean it. I've said before, and I'll say it again. You know, I'm going to get health insurance for everybody here, and the first thing I'm going to have everyone do is go in for a CAT scan. Thank you! All right. Welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show, 855-500-7445, and thank you very much, Toby Keith and Merle Haggard. I like that music.
What do you got about being a country music fan?
No, I'm not a country music fan. I'm a country music fan to the extent that there are country songs I like. Do I go out and buy country music albums as much as, say, I buy? Or do I go out and buy country music, period, as much as I may buy rock and roll or metal or something like that? No, the answer is.
No, the answer is.
Yes. Or the answer is no, if you care to put it that way. Not because I don't like country music. I like it. Like it a lot. But it's just, for me, it's every now and again. Country music is a safety valve for me. It's my safety valve when I want to get away from the crap. When I just want to get away from the garbage of popular music, and no matter what the genre, when I want to get away from the very obvious and overstated nature of hip-hop, when I want to get away from the moody and gothic... implosiveness of rock and metal. When I want to get away from the intoxicated and hallucinogenic nature of adult contemporary singers and musicians. When I just want a little bit of reality, I go for the country. Okay, I reach for all the gusto and I grab myself a bottle of country, wide open country. You know.
Have you seen that Dr. Pepper commercial where the guy goes, it's a man's world, and he's drinking...
That's weird.
It's a satire.
It's a satire in what?
It's a satire in the 1970s beer commercial. You didn't see that?
Oh, yeah. Now I get it. I wondered where I'd seen those images before.
Exactly. That Dr. Pepper commercial is a parody of all of those... beer commercials that came out in the 70s of the wide open nature of Coors and all that jazz. That's what they're messing with there. It's pretty funny. All right, we're going to be back here. There is, I don't know if anybody's interested in this. I sort of am because it's kind of interesting. There's apparently a revolution afoot or maybe a revolution afoot in the Ukraine. What's it all about? Why is everybody pissed off? Why does everybody want some changes made? And now we'll find out. We come back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. And, of course, we're online at philhenryshow.com and like that. We'll be right back.
I hate you for the suck.
Just that guy with you're saying?
Hold on.
This old highway seems so lonesome when you're going.
World famous Phil Henry Show, and
now who is this? Is this that Johnny Rodriguez?
No, this is not Johnny Rodriguez. This is the Mavens.
Well, why don't you have Johnny Rodriguez?
I can't find it. I can't find it anywhere.
You know what, man?
It's a song called Riding My Thumb to Mexico, which I always liked, and I liked the Johnny Rodriguez version, but I can't find it, so this is the Mavens.
Well, I caution you, Phil, to back off of the country music because you're going to alienate a great many of your, I would say, minority listeners.
No, they're not going to alienate minority. A lot of black people like country music.
Black people like country? Where do you get off saying that?
Because I'm black.
You like country music, Robert. I mean, there have been black country music performers. I guess when I say the only one that I can think of is Charlie Pride.
Well, that's the only one anyone can think of. Are there any others?
There've got to be. There've got to be.
And what are you speaking of now?
Black African-American country music performers. There was Charlie Pride, which was the one black guy that country music had for years. But I don't know of any others.
Charlie Pride, by the way, did a song that I love. You've got to kiss an angel good morning and love her like a fiend when you get... Well, not love her like a fiend.
Love her like the devil.
Love her like the devil? I don't understand that.
You got to kiss an angel good morning and love her like the devil when you get home at night.
What does that mean?
Oh, come on, will you, Margaret?
There, you get it? Angel and devil.
Oh, I'm sorry. No, you're right. Yes. Well, why did the song that I heard, that then I must have heard a different one, because it's, you've got to kiss an angel good morning. You know, I really should do that. I write that down. Where was it? Frank, if you're listening, write that down for the set this weekend. Kiss an angel good morning.
Yeah, and love on it like the devil.
Not love on it like the devil. What an animal.
Love her like the devil when you get home at night. It's one of those, it's the way country music, they always turn a lyric beautifully like that. So.
Right, so you've got to kiss an angel good morning. And, you know, I think it needs something, and I don't know what it is. You've got to kiss an angel good morning and climb it like the devil, no?
Climb it like the devil. Boy, that's really classing it up, Margaret.
Margaret, don't you want to sing something that's ladylike?
I beg your pardon?
Well, you're talking about climbing on it.
I'm talking about, it's a very country thing. Do you want it to be a country song or don't you?
Here's a great idea.
Do you want it to be a country song or don't you?
I do. Here's a great idea. How about keeping the lyrics as they originally are intended?
I vote for that.
Yeah, what's wrong with that?
Because it's an old song. And it needs a little updating. That's all I'm saying. Kiss an angel good... Excuse me for a minute. I'm sorry, Phil, but I... Oh, God.
What's wrong?
Well, I tasted something. It must have been what you tasted last night just before you pitched...
That's... What a great conversation we're having, folks, huh? Welcome to the Phil Henry Show.
No. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Margaret. We're talking about the song Kiss an Angel Good Morning and Love Her Like the Devil When You Get Home at Night. That's fine, but I'm looking for something that's, I don't know.
That's great. Our number, 855-500.
What are you blowing it off?
Yeah, I don't know that you can improve on the song, but if you want to, be my guest. NATO foreign ministers have condemned the use of excessive force against pro-European protesters in the Ukraine after a meeting in Brussels. U.S. Secretary of State John Kerry urged the Ukraine to listen to the voices of its people. Earlier, Prime Minister Mykola Azarov apologized in Parliament for the use of police force against protesters. Mass protests were sparked by the government's decision not to sign an association deal with the EU last week. Thousands demonstrated outside the Parliament building in Kiev on Tuesday, with protests in the city once again continuing into the evening. So the people were protesting the fact that the government didn't want to get into business with the European Union.
Now, I wonder what the government's reasoning was for that.
Generally, it's like everything. I mean, I don't want to say, but generally, it's like everything else. You know, they didn't get enough for the deal. They didn't get enough for what they were putting into the package. They don't feel they were getting enough out of the package. They're angling for a harder bargain, I guess.
Well, but they've got to communicate this to their people more effectively, or the people will, of course, redress grievances. And, of course, this is the American way. We have it in our Constitution, the freedom of the speech. Now, I don't know about the Ukraine. It's a recently freed republic, a former republic of the Soviet Union, of the Union of... Do you know what USSR stands for?
I do, yes.
All right, what about you, Margaret?
Yes, I believe I do. The Union of the... The United States.
No, Bud.
The USS what?
The USSR. Do you know what that stood for?
The United States San.
All right, Robert.
Wait, I'm not done yet. I still get to guess, don't I?
Go ahead. Hurry up, Bud.
The United Federate. Well, no.
If you were going to say United Federation of Planets.
I know, did I?
You always trying to be funny, though, you know?
He didn't say that. I said United Federation, okay, but United.
All right, Robert, you go ahead.
No, I'm not done yet.
Yes, you are done. Robert?
I don't know. USA, I don't know.
I know what it is, all right? You know, Phil?
Yes, I do.
All right, let me tell you what it is.
Wait.
Can I say it? No, you can't say it. I'll do it. The United States of the Soviet Republics. No, I'm sorry.
No, it isn't. It's the...
No, hold on. The USSR stands for the United States of Socialist Republics.
Wrong.
Excuse me, I'm the one that asked if you knew what it was.
You're wrong, General. With all due respect, you're wrong.
No, I am not wrong.
Yes, you are, sir. You're wrong, and I can prove it to you. I've got a map. I've got an atlas from the 1980s that I can show you.
Well, brother, it better be a real atlas and not one of these phony baloney deals you cook up to make your callers look like asswipes.
What? A fake atlas? I don't even understand that. It stands for the Union of Soviet Socialist Republics.
Well, all right. Big wow, so I got...
Well, it is very different, General.
No, it's not. They're right there, see?
Yeah, there it is right there in a book that Phil said. Union of the Soviet Socialized... How come it's so long?
Because that's what it is. That's what it is. That was the name of it, Union of Soviet Socialist Republics. So you were saying about the Ukraine.
What I was saying about the Ukraine, I'm going to look into that. I don't believe you.
Okay, the atlas is wrong, and I'm wrong, so you go ahead and look into it.
That was one of the United States of Socialist Soviet Republics.
Which would make it the USSSR. That's fine.
You know, Phil, you really are kind of a smartass. And you're bugging me. You're bugging me something severe.
General, I don't mean to bug you, but you just said the United States of Soviet Socialist Republics. That's three S's.
One, two, oh, okay, you're right.
Why can't we just go with the Union of Soviet...
Because I'm not willing, because I was in the military, I studied the grid, I had to be up on what the what war plan for Eurasia was. We've got various war plans, as you know, and we had a war plan for Eurasia, which involved SAC bombers, and I had to study that grid something fierce, and every day I looked at the United States of the Soviet Socialized... God,
take it easy, will you?
Well, you just...
Well, General, I have to say, I don't know what kind of hands our country was in. If we've got a man there looking at the SAC bomber grid every day, and you're looking at the United States of the whatever he said...
It's the Union of the... Oh, man.
Good thing that you didn't run things.
What, are you looking at me?
Yeah, you sound like you're nuts, too.
You guys can say what you want, and I may be nuts. I might be out of my mind. I would be willing to grant you all of that. All of that. But I'm telling you right now, there's one thing I'm not nuts about, and that's the name of the damn country was the Union of Soviet Socialist Republics. That was the name of it. I could be crazy about everything else. That was the name of that country before it broke apart into its various pieces. So today, we deal with Russia, which was the major main player in that confederation, if you will. The Ukraine was another, Georgia was another, Latvia, Lithuania. These were all republics, all these countries that we hear about now, Kazakhstan. These were all part of the USSR. And we didn't hear about these countries because they were under the control of Moscow. And they were, yes, they were republics in name only, but they were completely tied to Moscow. Even tighter than the United than the states of the U.S. The states have some autonomy. We have some independent movement when it comes to the 50 states here in the U.S. For instance, there's state income taxes, which we don't share with other states. There can be city taxes. Laws are different, and so on and so forth. But in the USSR, man, no. Only to serve Moskva.
All right.
What's that?
That's Moscow in...
It's Moscow in Russia talk, or what? Or Russian, I should say.
Right. All right, coming back here on the World Fair, I guess that's about all we need to know about that, isn't it, Margaret? Or...
Well, I don't know, Phil. You're talking about the Ukraine. That's a big, big topic.
Yeah, I don't really know, other than the fact that they wish that they were in the in the what?
They wish they were in the USS... Did you say the USSR?
No, in the Economic Union.
And what is this gay music?
This is a little... What is this, Phil?
The Moody Blues.
The what? You might... Why don't we go ahead and put on some tights and listen to this?
Yeah, okay. The world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com.
Oh, I love... This is Losing My Religion. This is another one, right? Frank, if you're listening.
All right. So you're talking about songs you're doing on your live gigs, right?
Yes. And this past weekend, I got so disgusted, really. Frank knows that I don't like where he's been booking me. He's been booking me in some toilets.
Robert, don't hit the microphone.
You're always doing that.
I'm sorry, Mr. Henry. Every time you want to make a point, man, you bang this microphone. I got to... Look at this. Dude, you can't... You see this? It's... Okay, go ahead.
I'm sorry. What I want to say was that Frank booking Margaret into these... Why do you let him do that?
Because he's my husband. He's booking me. And then I said to him, I don't want to be booked into these garbage cans. He put me in a place called what was it called? The Crab Lock... Not the Crab Locker... It was Slim Jenkins and the Crab something in Cerritos. And we played... Well, I was so disgusted, I put together a set. We did Where's the Bathroom, Nice Dip.
Where's the Bathroom?
Yeah, these were all songs that were submitted, and I put together a set list. I was trying to send a message to Frank and to this club owner.
And the message... What do you mean you're trying to send a message?
Are you listening to me?
I'm listening, Margaret.
All right. I took songs that had been submitted to me. I put them together so that the titles sent a message. So if you look, I don't know which ones we did, but if you look on my fan page on Facebook, we did something like, I itch down there, what's in the dip, where's the bathroom, I think it's in flame. Now, these are all song titles.
From who?
These are people that submitted them.
Yeah, these people submitted them to her.
There was a song called It's Inflamed?
Yes. Now, these were all sent to me at odd times, and of course I didn't want to do any of them, but I decided I can use these songs. I put them together in a set list on Friday night, and I'm at the microphone saying, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I'd like to start out with It's Itching Down There, and then thank you. Now it's time for What's in This Dip? And I said it like that. I was emphasizing it, hoping and praying to, and again, I'm not a religious person, Phil, but I was hoping and praying to this God that they call Jesus, thinking maybe, just maybe he exists. Please, Jesus, let Frank hear the message.
Well, what's the message?
Well, what do you think the message is, Phil, when I say I'm itching, it's inflamed, where's the bathroom?
Yeah, the place is infected with crabs.
Thank you.
Well, why couldn't you just say it to him?
Because he... Oh, God, you're stupid. I love you, Phil, but you're really stupid. You know?
Phil, you don't... Haven't you been listening? She's been talking to this idiot that she's married to for weeks, and he doesn't get it. This is the idiot that gets genders confused.
I know Frank Gray. I know him very well. I know he gets genders confused, but I've never known him not to understand it when someone says to him, you're booking me into a toilet.
No, Frank understands that he doesn't care. I'm trying to get him to care. To care. I'm trying to get the man to care. So I said, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the crab pit. You know, I emphasize crab. This first one is called, Oh My God, It Itches Down.
Even you're laughing.
Well, it is a little ridiculous.
All right, so, and you're saying Frank didn't get it.
I'm sorry?
You're saying that Frank didn't understand.
No, he did not get the message.
Well, I...
I feel for you. You know, I'm telling you, and maybe Frank's mental condition is beginning to deteriorate. You know, Frank was with me on the, he came with me down there. You did too, to the Acme.
Well, I didn't want to, but what is with you and the general?
Yeah, Phil, I just heard you go, Acme. So you've got the same problem.
Well, it's drying out. It is a little dry. It's very windy tonight.
Sure, that's the problem.
Yeah. You and Frank were with me at Acme Comedy Theater for the podcast-a-thon, and Frank at that time was just as confused about his gender confusion. He didn't even know what it was that Jimmy was talking about or that I was talking about. He just went off and started talking. The audience was laughing its ass off, and Frank didn't notice.
Well, that's what I didn't like, and I'm really upset that you put him on mic, because you made him look foolish, Phil.
Margaret, he wanted to talk on the air.
I don't care.
Well, you were there. You could have stopped it.
I'm going to stop Frank Gray, one of the top entertainment attorneys in Los Angeles. I'm going to step in and say, no, Frank, you can't talk. He would slap me across. He'd slap my bridge loose. And I don't usually admit to that. And you know what? I deserve it.
Oh, my. I can't believe what you just said.
Mr. Gray, you talk about you're going to get belted?
You think you deserve being slapped?
Yes. If I would have said to Frank, well, go ahead, Frank, go on mic and let them laugh like hyenas at what a moron you are, and he backhands me until the bridge flies.
I didn't know you had a bridge.
Yes, my front teeth are false. They're false. That was from, you know, I've been in fist fights. I was in a lot of fist fights as a girl.
I knew that. I didn't know you got your teeth knocked out.
Yeah, I got my teeth knocked out by a girl named Angela, and this is my senior year in high school in a parking lot. And it was right after the basketball game. It was a girls' basketball game. We were playing for the Pennsylvania State Championship against Chaminade Girls.
Against who?
Against Chaminade Girls, the Catholic high school. And we beat them, and we beat them pretty good. I think we put up 93 points on them. I put in 20 points, and I had 11 rebounds. I think I had a very good game. But we're leaving the locker room, and up comes this Angela from Chaminade. She was their center. She didn't like me for whatever reason. I think we got into it on the court a little bit. And I said, well, so what are you going to do about it? I said, you know, you may be big. I said, but you look about as dumb as an ox. I smart-mouthed her. She took a swing, and she connected. But that was the last punch she connected with, because then I had her on the ground. And if they hadn't pulled me off of her...
What?
I probably would have killed her.
Margaret, you're the funniest person. You're a woman, you know, and I know this about her. And I don't mean to talk about you like you're not here, but General looks very shocked.
Well, what you're talking about? You almost beat a woman to death?
Yes, yes, I did. They if they hadn't pulled me off of that girl, I probably would have killed her.
But she knocked your teeth out.
She got in a punch. Yes.
I mean, you're a woman of style and fashion, and you go to these parties, and you go to charity fundraisers, and you're married to Frank, and you keep a beautiful home, and you know these celebrities, and no one would ever think that you come from this background of fist fights, and you and this Bobby Dooley.
Well, that's a whole other... That woman begs for it. Every time I talk to her, it's like she's got a sign that says, please, Margaret, beat me up today. That's what...
Yeah, but all of that aside, the fact that you come from this alley-fighting background, what did your father and mother think of this?
Oh, they hated it. They wanted to put me in a convent. Are you kidding?
When you were in high school?
Oh, yes. I said, no. I said, you put me in a convent, you'll never see me again. I said, that is a promise from me to you. And that's where I learned to say to my father, essentially, I said, I don't care who did it, he got it. And my father said, well, if you're going to do it right. And when I get it, you get it. He started quoting Dog Day Afternoon and those things. What are you looking all like I'm nuts for?
Because you sound nuts. You sound nuts.
Yeah, it's scary, the stuff you say.
Oh, is it scary? Well, I'm sorry to scare you, but that's how it is in my world. So you guys know that when I say something, I'm not screwing around.
Well, Margaret, I don't doubt you at all. I don't think the threat of violence is necessary. You're among friends here.
No, I know that.
Yeah, but I mean, you're always getting up into people's faces, and you beat Bud up already.
Yeah, you kicked me and everything. I sue you for that.
Go right ahead, Bud. My husband's a lawyer.
Well, Margaret, you know, at some point you can't do that because there is such a thing as civil litigation. People are going to sue you, and they're going to win. And,
well, you know what? The first person to sue me and win, good on them. Kudos. But until then, we're on my time.
We're on my time. One of my favorite lines from Your Friends and Neighbors.
What is that? What is the movie?
Your Friends and Neighbors.
It's a great movie. Neil LaBute. Neil LaBute. Great director. And I think it's Jason Patrick, isn't it?
Yeah, Jason Patrick utters the line. It's one of the greatest lines in the history of the world. He says, when we die and we find out there's that God thing out there, okay. But until then, we're on my time. I don't know. And Jason Patrick plays this complete psychopath. He's got no empathy for anyone. And he's a doctor, right?
Well, but what's very odd about him is he's a doctor. He's very good friends with the other two.
Yeah, the other two actors are Aaron Eckhart, played by Aaron Eckhart, and
Ben Stiller.
Yeah, Ben Stiller. And they're all three of them are very tight friends. And they play, you know, tennis and racquetball. They hang with each other. They even wind up having sex with each other's wives, I think. And Jason Patrick, at the end, winds up with Aaron Eckhart's wife. But, you know, Eckhart plays, all three of these guys are messed up. Aaron Eckhart has a hard time. He's sexually dysfunctional. He can't even get aroused when he's on one of those 1-800 sex lines. That doesn't work there. Then you have the problem with Ben Stiller, who is dysfunctional with just that one woman.
Yes, Aaron Eckhart's wife.
Right, Aaron Eckhart's wife. The one guy that can have sex with her, who's all wrong for her, but she winds up leaving her husband for him, is the Jason Patrick guy. And he's just about as goofy as they get. And this cat is nuts, man. With one scene, he's screaming and yelling at this girl because she's had her period on his something-something thread count sheets, you know?
Yes, he's all upset with her that she bled on his satin sheets or something. And he says, I'm going to go downstairs and have a beer, and when I come back, I want you out of here.
Yeah, he says, I think I'll go downstairs for a beer and some 409. So in other words, this guy is a complete psycho because the girl bled on his expensive sheets, and now he's got to go downstairs for a beer and some 409, and he wants her to clear out. I mean, he's the most odious individual you've ever met. You know, for 2 cents, you want to just drop this guy out of a window. But there he is at the end of this movie. He's the guy that winds up with the woman that nobody else can be sexually functional with. It's a crazy movie. All right, we'll be back with our final segment here, the world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. Head on over to our website and check out our special Christmas promotion. For an order in our shop of $75 or more, you get two free shot glasses. And if you are a BSP member, whether a new one or a returning one, you also get a free CD download with an order of $75 or more from the online store at philhenryshow.com. Wow, that's some really great guitar playing, Knott. Anyway, welcome back, world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Who in the hell?
That's an old band called Ram Jam. And for some reason, that was charting over on iTunes. Look at that. I go, wow, who's buying Ram Jam, you know? And so we went ahead and picked that up for some bumper music.
That's all it's good for.
Don't be disrespectful.
Now, you're looking at what you ate today.
Yeah, I'm looking at what I ate today. Dean Wheeler is going to join us from the Northern California Holistic Center to give us just some background, I guess, on good nutrition. I've been consulting with Dean. And I know that right now, Dean, you are in the midst of a... I don't know if you guys are doing your yoga session.
Well, that's all I'm sorry. Hold on for just a minute. Well, you're listening right now, Phil. You're listening to Paul Flatt. Paul is a member of the Northern California Holistic Center tribal troupe, and he's playing, right now he's just playing what we call a meditation a passage. And what we're doing is, there's probably about 50 of us engaging in prana meditation, which is a yogic a meditation. And so I'm speaking to you right now. I'm just trying to keep my voice down. So how were you doing today, Phil?
All right.
If you could just keep your voice down.
I'm on the other end of a phone.
I know that.
Okay. How is it that you can hear...
Just, you got to be quiet.
How is he
Who's that? You got to be quiet.
Dean, no one can hear me. I'm on your phone.
Well, I can hear you. And...
I know, but no one else can hear because you've got it up against your ear.
No, okay. So what were you doing today?
I was eating. I was on my diet, and I wanted to give you the rundown of what I had.
All right.
Because I'm doing, as you guys know, 2,000 calories a day, and that's what I maintain. You know, I try to maintain the calories, that intake, so that I can lose probably about 5 pounds a week. I got as high as 235 pounds, and I'm down to 230 after a week.
So that's very good, and that holding at that caloric level allows you to burn up those calories. So that's very good, Phil. That's 5 pounds a week. And I don't think you would slow down for maybe 4 or 5 weeks. So I think you're going to probably be down to your target weight, by the middle of January. Where do you want to be?
In the middle of January, I want to be at 210.
I think you'll be close. I think you'll be close.
All right. So anyway, this morning, this morning I started out the day I had 2 bags of popcorn.
2 bags of popcorn. Was it the light popcorn?
Yeah, well, that was like when I got off the air last night, when I got home last night from Drunk History.
So what did you drink?
I drank a bottle of tequila.
Well, that's 90 calories a shot.
Yeah, I would say I had probably 5. You mean you talk about yesterday?
You didn't drink that today?
No, I did not drink that today.
Oh, all right.
So I had 2 bags of that 100-calorie popcorn. That's 200 calories. I had one of those espresso things that I was just talking about. That's 70 calories. I had 4 pieces of 40-calorie...
Hold on for just a minute, Phil.
Na-na-na-na, na-na-na-na-na-na.
Go ahead.
Okay. Are we interrupting what you're doing?
Well, no. That was great, Paul. Can we do it one more time? And I want to see if everyone can get even deeper. Get even deeper down into the meditative samadhi, because what we're looking to do... Hold on, Phil, okay? Okay, Phil?
Yeah, fine.
What we're looking to do, everyone, I'm on the air with Phil Hendry on a radio show, and I'll be done in a moment. But what we're looking to do, everyone, is we want to get deep into the samadhi subconscious thing. I don't know what it's called, but it's just we want to get away from where we are, and we want to go somewhere else. Does anyone... Raise your hand if you felt... Did anyone feel, were you leaving your body? Did anyone leave their body? Okay, 1, 2, 3. You left your body? What's that? No. Did you see yourself hovering over your body? Who saw yourselves hovering over your body? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. That many, huh? And you're not kidding. All right. Well, then so you want to leave your body and you want to see, you want to be looking down. What is that, John? You're looking down. You are bald. You didn't know that you're losing your hair? If you were looking down on a bald spot, that's you? Yeah. All right. So, Paul, give me one more passage, and let me get back to Mr. Hendry. 1.
La, 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 la.
Okay, Phil. I'm sorry.
What were you? So that's your meditation class, huh?
Yes, it is. You should join us.
Now, who is this guy that was looking down on his own bald head?
Well, this is not anything to make a joke out of, Phil.
I'm not. I heard what you were saying.
No, but I can hear you building up to a joke, and I'm not. That's not what this is about. That's not what I'm about. I'm not about that.
I understand. You said who left their body.
Who left their body, and this man did. He said, I was looking down on someone with a bald head, and I said, did you know you're losing your hair? He said, no. I said, well, you have a bald spot. And he said, oh, my God, that's me. And I said, little bit, you know.
Okay.
So anyway, so what else did you eat?
Then I had 4 hot dogs. I told you, the 45-calorie hot dogs. Two more rice cakes. I actually had 5 more rice cakes for 250 calories, 90 calories of salad, 120 calories of olive oil, and then I had tuna, a can of tuna, 270 calories, and then some mayo, some of that light mayo, 40 calories.
All right, so where are you at right now?
Well, all told, 1,860 calories.
Perfect. And you've come to the end of one day cycle. When you get off the air, you've come to the end of that day cycle, and you'll be able to start all over again. Hold on for just a second.
Na, 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 na.
Okay, that was fine, but, yeah, exactly, Jerry. when you I saw you reach down and you're scratching something, and that means you've broken the cycle of the meditation, you know, of going down into it, you know. Yeah, because you reached down and you were scratching your ass. I mean, excuse me for using that language. What's that, Mary? I saw you reaching down and scratching yourself between your legs, and I saw this guy reaching up and, yeah, you were digging up right up in your crack of your, never mind. All right, let's do it again. No, we have to do it again because you blew it. You blew it. You blew it, okay? Just live with it. Okay.
What kind of a meditation class is that?
What do you mean, what kind?
Well, a guy's reaching up the crack of the ass. You know, you're using a lot of language.
Well, I speak very directly to my people, and I want them to break the chain of connection between mind and body. And when a guy sticks his fingers right up the crack of his you-know-what, do you think he's off into outer space? I don't think so. Why are you quiet? Forget it.
That was very disrespectful, Phil.
You kidding me? That guy... what if the guy looked down on himself as he's got his fingers wedged? What about that?
You know, I'm not going to answer that. I think you were very disrespectful, Phil. I think that in so many different ways you were I can't even count the number of ways that you were disrespectful. And I thank you for playing the music right when I'm making my point.
Margaret, you can say anything you want. I didn't mean to be disrespectful, but the fact of the matter is, Dean does talk in a very direct way, doesn't he?
Yes, he does.
All right. We'll be back tomorrow. Thanks, guys. Phil Henry Show.